On Tuesday, we celebrate Christmas Day. And through the singing of the well-known carols of last Sunday evening and the scripture readings that we've already had, we have been reminded very clearly of the Christmas message. The Christmas season is a wonderful time of the year, especially for the children. Someone has said that Christmas is a celebration of an invasion. It is God's intervention from eternity into time. But we must always remember his coming was no accident. It was all in God's plan. He came in the fullness of time. That is, he arrived upon the scene of human history at the time previously fixed by the Father. God's Son became a man, the union of the divine nature with human nature. God became as one of us. Christ did not cease to be God, but became the God-man, a unique person in God's universe. So this wonderful truth was revealed in Scripture. In all aspects, Christ became a human being, yet without sin. Is it any wonder then that the angels broke forth from the sky to praise God in the day of his birth? And what are we told? Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Angels have been used as God's messengers from the very beginning of creation. But no message they had ever been given could be compared with this message. Notice, first of all, it was a message of praise. Glory to God in the highest. It was a message of praise. The events taking place that night in Bethlehem were the cause of highest praise. There had been many occasions when God displayed his graciousness, when undeserved favor was extended to guilty men, yet nothing had ever equaled to the mercy and the gift of God's only begotten Son. The angels had been present on many wonderful occasions, and they had joined as many a solemn chorus to praise the Almighty Creator. They were present at the creation. No doubt they had often chanted blessings and honor and glory and majesty and power and dominion and might be unto him that sitteth on the throne. But here the angels on Christmas night sang for a special reason. Their song be something with men could understand. Something which men and women ought to understand. Something which men and women would be better if they did understand it. The angels were singing that Jesus, who was born in a manger. They sang about Christ and the salvation which he came into this world to work out. And what they said in this salvation was this, that it gave glory to God. Therefore, we must learn from this that if salvation glorifies God, glorifies him in the highest degree, and makes the highest creatures praise him, it is something that we should think about. Creation glorifies God, but not as much as redemption. Glory to God in the highest, this song begins. The highest degree of glory to God is due by the appearing of his Son, Jesus Christ, in the world. By his life and his death on the cross, it will bring glory to God's attributes of justice and holiness and mercy and wisdom as they were never glorified before. This song of the angels should stir our hearts with happiness. When the angels ushered in the gospel's great head by singing, surely then the Christian should have a smile on his face and be glad and rejoice. Rejoice because of what has happened. Religion never was designed to make our pleasure less. Do the angels tell their story with groans and with sobs? Ah, no. They shout glory to God in the highest. The Apostle Paul could say, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. When the wrongs of this world needed righting, and a fallen race needed redemption, God did not send his heavenly angelic armies. He did not send battalions of military forces. He sent a tiny, tender, helpless babe in the person of his only son. This was an unbelievable occurrence. Jesus brought heaven and earth together. No child has ever had such a welcome. No birth has ever been like this one. Even when Sarah had her child Isaac, a wonderful miracle it was. It was nothing compared to this. Is it any wonder then that the angels brought a message of praise? No other event in history would touch the lives of so many people or affect so profoundly the course of human history. The birth of the Christ child was worthy of the angels. What an amazing story. If there is no God, or if God is unconcerned about our problems, then there's no reason to praise. Life has no final meaning, and death ends it all. But the message of the Christmas angels is a message of praise to God in the highest. Why? Because he is a God that exists. And he is a loving Father that seeks to restore us to what we were created to be, that is, his children. Because God's Son, Jesus Christ, has entered this world, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the joy and the hope can be ours if we will but receive the gift of Christmas. The angels sang, glory to God in the highest. When Jesus was born, it was a message of praise. But then, secondly, they brought a message of peace. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. This Christmas, we are hoping for a peaceful Christmas. The coming of the Savior would result in peace. We're not talking about political peace, but peace with God. Peace from a tortured conscience. Rest from a troubled soul. These are the treasures obtained only through the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ on earth would result in perfect peace. A measure of national peace was already known by the Caesars who had temporarily outlawed war. Yet Epicurus, the philosopher of the first century, wrote, while the emperors may give peace from war on land or sea, he is unable to give peace from passion and grief and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns more than from outward peace. Jesus was able to say, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. The angels sang as they had never sung before, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. They did not sing that in the Garden of Eden. There was peace there. But now man had fallen. And since that day when the cherubim and the fiery swords drove out the man, there has been no peace in this earth. The killing and the murder began. Cain killed Abel. The jealousy and the envy began between members of the same family. There's been no peace on earth since Adam fell. But now, when the newborn king made his appearance, came the promise of peace. Where else can peace be found but in the message of Jesus Christ? This is the peace that passes all understanding. which keeps our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. The psalmist says, the Lord will bless his people with peace. The apostle Paul wrote, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In times of stress and strain, it is comforting to know the peace of God. In the times of bereavement, it is comforting to know the peace of God. In Philippians 4 and 7, we read, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Who can understand? Who can explain the peace that God gives? This verse deals with two very important aspects of our lives, the heart and the mind. When the heart is in distress and the mind is in turmoil, there is someone who can give us peace. Why is it called the peace of God? Surely it is because it comes from God. It was planned by God, and God gave his Son to make the peace. God gave his Spirit to give the peace in the conscience. Therefore, it is God who gives this peace. It is a peace of God which passes all understanding. And that peace is made possible because of the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Millions today are daily searching for peace. Troubled minds, troubled hearts, troubled homes. And every time they get in close to finding it, Satan turns them away from it. But the one who has found Christ has found peace. In Christ, we are relaxed and at peace in the midst of confusion, bewilderments, and perplexities of this life. The storms rage, but our hearts are at peace. I wonder, is that your experience here today? This peace of God can be yours when you have made your peace with his Son, Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder then the angels sang their praise? It is one of the most important things in life to have peace. When the peace of God comes into the heart, it gives true meaning and happiness in life. Jesus Christ has come. The angels promised that with him would come peace. We are not talking about political peace in our province or peace in the Middle East, the Israeli-Arab conflict, or any other conflict in the world. No, we are talking about all the conflicts between man and God because of sin. We're talking about the enmity that was started by Satan. Is that your experience today? Do you feel that peace? Do you have that peace? Yes, it can be ours, because when Jesus came, he brought peace with him. In John 1 and 14 we read, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. All who believe in Jesus have received an abundant supply of all that our soul needs out of the full store that resides in him for his people. It is for Christ and Christ alone, and all our spiritual wants have been supplied. All mankind is by nature empty of anything that is good, but the fullness that is in Christ Jesus is for the supply of all believers' wants. There's no man or woman of any rank or quality or degree that has any gift of grace, but that he or she received it from Christ. Christ is always giving. Is that not what we said to the boys and girls earlier? God sent his Son as a gift. We did not deserve it. We do not deserve it. But he sent his Son. And we are reminded from Scripture, as many as receive him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Faith is the condition of receiving. And those who receive him into their lives have peace with God that passes all understanding. Surely at this Christmas time, that is what we need. We need the peace of God in our hearts. We need the peace of God in our homes. We need the peace of God in our nation. On that first Christmas, the angels brought a message of praise. They brought a message of peace. And thirdly, they brought a message with purpose. Christ was about to make salvation possible. Those words found in Acts chapter 1, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Those words were displayed outside a church in London until the minister was told by the local authorities to take the poster down as it offended some local inhabitants who were adherents of other faiths. Selwyn Hughes said, "In the early days of my career as a minister, I found that whenever I talked to people of other faiths and tried to present to them the Christian gospel, everything I said brought the bland reply, 'Yes, what you say is good, but we have the same teaching in our sacred books also.'" For example, the Sermon on the Mount. The Muslims would affirm that they have something similar in the Quran, turning the other cheek. Hindus would reply, "Our sacred books tell us the same." Caring and sensitivity to the needs of others, Buddhists would respond, "We believe in that too, perhaps more than you." Selwyn Hughes says, "Every issue that I raised had a parallel. I was puzzled. Where was Christianity's uniqueness? Then it dawned upon me, the incarnation. No other religion has anything like the incarnation. The incarnation is a distinctive feature of Christianity. Non-Christian religions teach that salvation is the work of mankind. The Christian faith teaches that salvation is a gift of God. Like the man who was 95 years of age told me, just live a good life, and that is all that is needed. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is not just a great idea. It really happened. There were eyewitnesses and a written record. And to be a Christian means first and foremost accepting the great fact of the incarnation, that Christ, the second person of the Trinity, was born at Bethlehem in the way that the Scriptures describes. That is what makes Christianity unique. No other religion can claim that. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Perhaps one of the most significant ways in which Jesus is unlike anyone else who has ever lived is that he had the ability to forgive sins. As the hymn puts it, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. And so the angels ended their message with goodwill to all men. If God had not a goodwill towards man and woman, would he have sent his son? If he had not goodwill towards the human race, would he have given up his son to become one of that race, that he might be by so doing redeem them from death? God has goodwill towards you and me. God has goodwill for all men and women. So good a will that he has said, "As long as I live, said the Lord, I will have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, but rather that he should turn unto me and live." So good a will that he has been condescended to say, "Come unto me, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like snow. Yes, the babe in the manger shows us the goodwill that God has towards us. The angel sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." But as we look around, what do we see in the world today? We do not see God honored. We see the heathen bowing down before their idols. We see God forgotten and a worldly race chasing after money and pleasure and greed. How many people will be today in the supermarkets and in the shops buying their Christmas presents on the Sabbath day? Is this all that makes them sing? Glory to God in the highest. Surely not. There are brighter days approaching. The day is coming when he will return with trumpets and with clouds of glory. Hallelujah, Christ the Lord, God omnipotent shall reign. Ah yes, the angels express the message of a great purpose. It is not God's will that they should perish. The reason why Jesus came was so that he might give us salvation. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ has done that which is necessary to deliver us from sin and to give us eternal life. Is it any wonder the angels sang their praise? Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Is that not glorious news? He came to take away sins. Is that not glorious news? He came to reveal his Father. Is that not glorious news? For Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Is it any wonder the angels were singing glory to God in the highest? But let us not forget those words in Hebrews. Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear the second time apart from sin to them that wait for him unto salvation. You cannot take your Bible and read it simply and honestly without coming to the conclusion that the Christ who came in the fullness of time will return again. Christ is coming again. This is our hope. This is our confidence. This Christmas, let us be, our hearts be glad. For the Christ who came some 2,000 years ago will be returning again. It is sad to think that in spite of all the prophecies in the Word of God, no one was watching for him. And he was born in a stable and went to sleep in a manger for cattle because there's no room in the inn. And so the question asked today for us is there room in our hearts? Is there room in our homes? Is there room in our lives for the Savior of the world today? The angels who needed no salvation, praise God, on the day the Savior for mankind was born. That day he took our nature. Scripture is very clear as to why Jesus was born. The angel told Mary, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This is the purpose for him coming. That is clear. And that is a message that we have heard over and over again. Hallelujah. Praise the God. Although we are remembering his birth this morning, let us never forget why he was born. That death was a fitting climax to his selfless loving. And on the cross he said, "It is finished," for it finished that which he came to do. He did not live for himself. It was always for others, and he did not die for himself but for others. He lived for others, and he died for others. When they scourged him, he opened not his mouth. And when the crowd should have wept for him on the cross, or cheered for him and taken their place. They jeered him. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. At this Christmas time, there is still no other way for us to get to heaven except by the wonderful sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And throughout the world, there are thousands upon thousands of individuals who have accepted Christ and have found in him the salvation to their baffling problems. And people from every nation of the world have found the answer to their need in Christ. And our basic problems today are not economic, they are not political, they are not violence, they are spiritual, a crisis within the human heart. And this is the problem Christ came to solve. The message the angels brought that first Christmas night was a message of peace. And our hearts will never be at peace until we have come to know the peace of God and to know the Prince of Peace. The angels brought a message of praise. They brought a message of peace. They brought a message of purpose. I trust that this Christmas will not be a time of feasting and parties when no thought is given to that wonderful Savior. Did Christ die in vain? Did Christ come in vain? We've heard the Christmas message for many years, and it is Christmas once again. Will you not, if you have not already done so, give your life to the Savior to change and transform it? What a glorious Christmas this would be. It would make all the difference to your life. It would make all the difference to your home. Make this Christmas special, and it will be a step that you will never regret. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? That is the purpose for which he came. Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the fullness of time you sent your one and only Son to come into this world. We thank you that it was for this reason that he came, it was for this reason that he died. Bearing shame and scoffing, rid in our place, condemned he stood. And so today we pray that we will rejoice with the angels. The angels brought a message of praise, they brought a message of peace, but they also brought a message of purpose. The purpose for which Christ came was to be your Savior. And so we pray that that will be a wonderful reality in many homes today. Many homes that are in trouble, in conflict, Jesus Christ can give them peace. And what a glorious, glorious Christmas it will be. For we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen.